great and greatly to be praised. We sing praises to your name. Thank you, Father. Praise team, thank you. If you haven't hugged a praise team member lately and told them thank you, now's a good opportunity. If I hesitate today, I'm breaking in a new Bible. I, for years, carried a New American Standard New Testament in burgundy, and it has now become a loose leaf edition. And I have been having my assistant scour the networks trying to find another one because I really liked it a lot. And this is a burgundy-covered New American Standard, and it's the closest thing I've found yet, but it's not like the one that I had. You'll remember that when it was my $10,000 New Testament. When we were first starting House of the Lord, we were believing God for the light bill. And believing God for somebody to come. And there was somebody that had reached out to us. They had heard us on the radio, and they said, "We want you to believe God with us." And I said, "Okay." So we believed God with them for healing for her husband, who was bedfast. And she was getting into real estate, and she said, "I want you to set your faith with me that God will give me some good sales." Well, she had just seen God do a miraculous work in her husband. And so it's December, and I set myself in agreement with her. And she called me up, and she said, "I just sold an apartment complex to an investor in California, and my commission is $5,000. Now, she's gone from... I had to talk to her mortgager in November because they were going to foreclose on her house, to a $5,000 commission the next month. Now we're talking 1978, when $5,000 was notable money. And I said, "And God's going to do even greater." A week later, she calls back and she said, "The same person wants another apartment complex, agreeing with me that it'll close," and she made another $5,000 commission selling another complex. I can't wait for Sunday, because she's going to come to church and $10,000 and, no, her commission was $50,000, her tithe would have been $5,000. She made $50,000 once, and then $50,000 again. She made $100,000 in 1 month. And I'm thinking, Sunday, her tithe will be $10,000 and things will be great. She went to church on Sunday. Wednesday night, she comes to church and she went, "I guess you noticed I wasn't here Sunday." No, it didn't occur to me. She said, "I was sitting down and I was getting ready to make out that tithe check, and I had a thought. And I called Eagle Mountain Ministries and asked if I brought a check for $10,000, could I meet Kenneth Copeland?" So she took her $10,000 check to Eagle Mountain and got to meet Kenneth Copeland, and he gave her a burgundy New American Standard New Testament. And on Wednesday night, she gave it to me. I couldn't for the life of me figure out how I was going to pay the light bill or that, or the rent. Not mine, the church's. But then I read it, and it told me that my God supplies all my needs, so that was good enough. And for years I've carried that New Testament, and I will find another one just like it in new condition, because I like the way it feels. I like the way it opens. It just falls open to the right places where I've been several times. So agree with me. I'm finding another New American Standard Thomas Nelson just like that one. But until then, we'll deal with this one, which is Word Publishing, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yeah, well. They have more snow in a week there than I want in a lifetime. The other day, Michelle and I was talking, and she said to me about different speakers how it helps a lot of times if people are able to see steps to a fulfillment. If they can see a progression of this produces that it helps. Well, sometimes I throw a broad net, okay, all the time. And so I was reading back through lessons, and the Lord prompted me to lesson four, those of you who have been here for the last five lessons. And he just said, break it down. So today we're returning to one of the passages and teachings that we shared with you in lesson four on faith, but it's lesson six, faith to do. Faith to do. I began with something I heard years ago, and I tried to find it. I don't know who said it. I don't know who talked about it, but it's, Richard, one of those things that just keeps staying with you. And I want you to get this first line. I don't know what you're going to do on your notes, but it's, see the bright yellow there? It's highlighted on mine. Faith without corresponding action is hope. There's a whole lot of people think they're in faith because they're believing God's gonna, God will, God can, God might. And I want you to understand one thing. Faith without corresponding action, something you do based upon what you believe from God's Word, not what you believe just because you want to believe it. You find something in God's Word. With His stripes, you were healed. Your God supplies all of your need according to the living standard of heaven. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. You find a promise in God's Word. You lay hold of that promise. But there's another step. You've got to do something different from what you've been doing based upon what you now profess to be your belief structure. Roy finds a passage. He says, God, You said that. I believe it. But what's he got to do next? He has got to take some action that demonstrates that he believes that. Peter and John came to the man and said, we're a little short of cash today, but it don't matter because our God supplies all of our need. We're not poor itinerant evangelists. We're supplied. But such as we have, divine supply, give we unto you. Rise, get with it, and get out of here. But then what did they do? He stretched out his hand, grabbed him, because you know what would have happened if they had said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. Rise, dance a jig, run, jump, shout, praise God. What would have happened? Faith without works is dead. And another way of saying it is the introductory passage today. Faith without corresponding action is hope. And the Lord really dealt with me about this passage when he brought it back to me, Gail, because he said a lot of people do not understand that. They think faith is believing. And I've taught you through the years that faith is, that believing is to faith what training wheels is to riding a bicycle. Believing is only an introduction to faith. It is not faith. Believing is an introduction to faith. It is not faith. You would not want to see a bicycle race with professional bicyclers out there with training wheels on their bike. You would think they had gotten past that. And yet I still find people 5 years, 10 years, 50 years into their walk with God saying, I'm believing God for. What a waste of breath. Pastor, I just told somebody I'm believing God for something. Well, then maybe I'm talking to you. I hopefully am, because I want you to get this. If you are believing God's gonna, God will, God can, God could, God should, you're in unbelief.
Amen. That's right.
Because if you really believe God's word on a subject, then you don't believe it's gonna, you believe it's already done. Because before you ask, I will answer.
Yes.
Have I not said it, and will I not bring it to pass?
Amen.
So why are you believing a certainty? Let me ask you a question. If Robert Spicer walked up to you and he was holding a lottery ticket, and in his beside it he had a printout of the winning numbers for last night's lottery, and he had the numbers underlined and they were exactly the same, and he handed you this slip and said, "This is the printout of the winning numbers from last night's lottery, and this is my lottery ticket. I believe I'm a winner. What do you think?" What would you think? Now, I mean, Tony might be more polite about it, but what would a lot of people say? "Get out of my face, fool. You know you're a winner. You got the same numbers that it says is..." This is how faith works, Scott. I find what God said is the winning promise. And then I accept His word as my word, because believing His word is not enough. His word has to become my word on the subject.
Amen.
Someone asked me,
"Amen.
Are you the healed of the Lord?" And I say, "With the stripes I was healed." That's not quoting God. That's my. God's opinion of the subject has to become my opinion.
Amen.
Why would I believe a sure thing? Why would Robert believe he won the lottery if he has the printout of the winning numbers and they match his? He would know.
Yes.
Now, this is a very secular, very simple example, but it's one we all need to hear, because many times we're walking around and we have the winning phrase, and we're still saying, "I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm prospered. I believe my God supplies all. I'm believing God for..." And you got the winning phrase. "With His stripes I was healed." Since I was healed, then I is healed. Because I is healed, I have one opinion. I am the healed of the Lord. But Pastor, what if you sound a little sniffly? I am the healed of the Lord. But what if you have a temperature? I am the healed of the Lord.
Amen.
Lying flat on my back in a hospital room with a death sentence. When Brother Richard asked me, "How do I tell the people to pray?" I said, "Tell the people I don't want anyone praying for me to be healed." I didn't say I don't want anyone praying, because I want prayer. I just don't want you praying for what I already own. I mean, if Barry said to you, "I want you to pray with me for a red Miata," you'd go, "Barry, you got a red Miata." Are you listening? You got a healed. You got a prospered. You got an inheritance. You got a peace. You've got an ability. You've got an anointing. Why? The word says so. And Raymond, if His word says it, I own it.
Amen.
Say that with me.
If the word says it, I own it.
Oh, one more time.
If the word says it, I own it.
Oh. Now, I want you to be watching James during the message today, because I want you to see what somebody got on credit that you have by divine decree. Now, credit is nice, but I want you to understand, everyone from Adam's fall to Christ's resurrection who received from God received on credit that became ratified when Christ was raised from the dead. But since Christ was raised from the dead, we don't deal on credit anymore. Our healing is paid for. Our prosperity is paid for. Our salvation is paid for. Our infilling of the Holy Spirit is paid for. Everything is paid for. But everybody up to the resurrection, Judith, they got what they got on credit. Mm-hmm. Now, probably none of y'all in here have ever gotten anything on credit. Sure. But you know what it's like when you've made that 24th payment and all of a sudden that TV sounds better, looks clear, works better, and you walk over and it's been sitting there 24 months, but you run your hand across the top of it because all of a sudden it's mine. I want you to get that same feeling when you read God's Word. And Ruth, you find, with His stripes I was healed. And you get that, you just want to rub it. You just want to touch it so you can say, that's mine. I own that. Because today we're going to touch in the lesson on something that somebody did on credit that you already own. And you don't have to make a belief payment on it. You don't have to make a, Lord, I need payment on it. You don't have to make, can I get two, three brothers and sisters to agree with me on this? I don't need to make an agreement payment. If it's in the Word, I'm a joint heir with the anointed Redeemer. And so therefore, anything in His account is in my account.
Amen.
Do you know what joint account means? It means she don't have to call you and say, can I write a check? You get home and she's wearing a new dress and she goes, look what you bought me. I mean, what are you going to say? You know you want credit for it. But the check's already written. And you don't look at that dress and go, man, I worked hard for that money. I was thinking about some new golf clubs. No, you go, I'm glad I was able to bless you that way. Why? Because she made a withdrawal from your joint account. Our daddy is that way. Look what your word bought me, Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. My bills are paid. I'm free of debt. I'm free of worry. I'm free of torment. I am free, free, free. Why? He whom the Son sets free is free in what they do. No, Pastor, the King James says it's free indeed. Indeed means in what you do. He whom the Son has set free is free to do health, to do wealth, to do joy, to do peace, to do ministry, to do gifts of the Spirit, to do miracles, to do signs, to wonder, to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues. He whom the Son sets free is free to do the deeds He did. My notes look blank. Oh. Faith without corresponding action is hope. What the word of your new covenant promises to you, decrees to be true, is your license to pursue. Oh, come on, church.
Amen.
I got more excited about that when I wrote it. What the word of your new covenant, the New Testament, promises you or decrees to be true is your license to pursue that is yours. Believing it to be your truth inspires hope. Believing is good. Hope is progress towards action. But faith puts hope into works that puts what was believed into operation. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Don't just lay there. Rise, take up your bed and walk. Stand upright on your feet. Stretch forth your hand. You see, if you believe it's true, there's corresponding action that takes you from hope to faith to possession. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Hope without corresponding action leaves you dead in the water. No progress made. No direction obtained. No fulfillment gained. Does what you hear matter? Oh, yes. Does the way you hear it matter? Oh, yes. Mark 4:23. If anyone has ears to hear. Pastor, what does that mean? Does anybody have ears here? Everybody got two. There is natural hearing and there is spiritual hearing. And he said in the parable, people with natural ears don't hear spiritual truth. People with spiritual ears hear what nature can't say. If anyone has ears toward the realm of the Spirit, let them hear. If anyone has ears, listening ears, toward the realm of the Spirit, let them hear. And he was saying to them, take care what you hear. When he said take care what you hear, what did he mean? When I am teaching on communication, I tell people this, and those of you who have been around a while, you'll remember. Nobody ever hears what you say. One writer said, the strange thing about communication is that many people actually believe they are. Just because you said it didn't mean it was communicated. Nobody ever hears what you say. They hear what you say filtered through what they've been through, what they've experienced, what they have endured, the hurts they've known, or the success or joys. I've sat with people and said, your Heavenly Father loves you, and had them say to me, I don't relate to Father. My father abused me. My father beat me. My father abandoned me. You see, I'm thinking your Heavenly Father loves you, and they're hearing a word that means abandonment, hurt, molestation, grief, sorrow, pain. Understand this. Nobody ever hears what you say. They hear what you say based upon what filters of life experience are in them. They filter it through those things. That's why Jesus separated. Get your natural ears out of the way. Hear what the Spirit is saying to your spirit. I decree that this day your spiritual ears are open to hear spiritual truth, and your spiritual ears being opened, you hear accurately what the Spirit is saying. If anyone has ears tuned to the realm of the Spirit, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. And he said to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure. Pastor, what does that mean, by your standard of measure? That means the filters you have in place in your life of what you've experienced and what you've been through will determine the way you see what you're hearing. That's why you've got to shut off what you're hearing to turn on what he wants you to hear. If you've ever been in an automobile accident, especially a serious, severe, multiple injury auto accident or even a fatality, someone says, let's go take a ride. You don't hear, let's go somewhere. You hear, you want me to get in your car and expose myself to the chance of that happening again. That's why, Nancy, sometimes we're in a prayer line and we say, do you believe the moment I lay hands on you, you're going to be healed? And you see people's eyes, they glass over, and then they realize I'm in front of everybody, and they go, but you know what they just heard was, Eight people have already laid hands on me and nothing happened. Why is it going to be any different this time? Because their natural ears are hearing, not their spiritual ears. He who hath ears to hear, spiritual ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Take care of what you listen to, because by your standard of measure, by the way you're hearing what you're hearing, is how it comes to you. So if you hear through your problems, your troubles, your hurts, your grief, your sorrow, you ain't getting nothing. One more time. Two people sitting hear the same passage of Scripture. One hears, God said. The other one hears, yeah, God said, but I also heard. Well, Pastor, how do I know if I have hearing ears? When you hear what God's Word says, whether you read it off the page or someone speak to you, when you hear what God says, do you have another voice immediately talking? Then you have a filter. And you need to get that filter out of the way. If God's Word said to you, with His stripes you were healed, and immediately say, well, I know somebody had that and they died. You don't have listening ears. Well, Pastor, if I don't have listening ears, can I get them? Yes. All you got to do is when you hear that other voice say, shut up, devil. Nancy and Barry in a conversation, they're talking about something, and every time they bring something up, I interject. What have they got to do to stop that? One of them looks at me, takes authority over, says, shut up, fool. We're talking here. Do you know you have the right to tell the devil to shut up?
Amen.
Well, Pastor, how do I know it's the devil?
If it's contrary to what God is saying to you, it's the devil. Now, the devil may have a blue dress on, because you know. Sometime, devil got a blue dress on. Scanning the congregation quickly to make sure no one's wearing a blue dress. You devil, you. What I'm saying is sometimes the devil looks like your mama. Or your wife. Or your husband. Or your friend. But if they lie on God, they the devil. Some folks don't even know the devil is flapping their jaws. They thought of that. He was out of their mouth before they realized they said that. But it's up to you, because he said with the measure you hear. How are you measuring those words? It will be measured to you, and more will be given you beside. Oh, yes, Brother Jim, more goodness. But if you're hearing the devil, more lies and deceptions. Because if you let any voice contrary to what God said come in, Derek, you're in a heap of trouble. God says He supplies all of your need. And what happens? You hear a voice that says, yeah, but you didn't get that raise. Yeah, but the rent's due. Yeah, but you're two checks behind catching up on that payment on the TV. Any voice that says anything contrary to what God said. That's why Lou and I learned doctors would walk in and say, well, now you've got lung failure. Now you got, on top of congestive heart failure and lung failure, now you got kidney failure. Now you got liver failure. Now you got thyroid failure. I was beginning to wonder if there's anything in me that didn't fail.
Yeah.
I felt like a student in public schools. I failed everything. But the doctors would come in and say, there's no way you can live. And we say, we cast that down.
Amen.
It is written, with His stripes I was healed. I am the healed of the Lord.
Praise God.
There's not a chance you can survive this. Well, if God be for me, what can be against me? Because by your standard of measure, how are you hearing what you're hearing? Because that's how you're going to get what you get. whether good or bad, you're going to get the way you hear it. That's why you got to train your ears. No, God said, with the stripes I was healed, and I will not take anything else into consideration. But you still have that pain. I'm not thinking about that. With the stripes I was healed. But you still look. I'm not taking that into consideration. With the stripes I... But how did the doctor respond? I can't take that into consideration. What the doctor said, what my body said, what the report said, what the test said, none of that matters, because I can only receive by the standard I'm measuring it with. And the standard I'm measuring it with says, with the stripes I was healed. Are you all getting this?
Yes, sir.
Now then, for the sake of expediency, did they go for that? I have Luke 8:43 in the New Living Translation for you. I want you to notice something. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the hem of his robe, and immediately the bleeding stopped. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like Jesus did it all, doesn't it? Why? Because the translator left the important part of the story out. Then he goes over to how Luke, the physician, the doctor of the day, how he does it. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. Now, this is a doctor saying it. The doctors let her down. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came behind him in the throng of the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. That was the measure she measured it by. But you see, again, the translator left out the important part of the cognitive reasoning that took place in this woman. But to accurately receive insight from this revelation of action based on belief, which hope inspired, we turn to the New American Standard Bible for accurate rendering. And he went off with them, and a large crowd was following him. We're on page 2. And down at the bottom. And pressing in on him, a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had. Can you say hopeless?
Hopeless.
And was not helped at all, but had rather grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched him, for she thought. One translation says, for she reasoned. Another says, for she said to herself. What is reason? What is thought? That's an area of meditating. You're thinking about it. For she thought, if I touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth. What?
Power.
A woman came up and swiped her credit card. She didn't pray. She didn't ask. She just made a withdrawal. Oh, church, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Joan. She didn't pray. She didn't put out a fleece. She didn't ask, may I touch you? And if I touch you, is something good going to happen to me today? No. She got her some while he was going by. Why? Because the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, although he had not resurrected Christ from the dead, her joint account was still available, as Hebrews 11 lists all these people who reached into the account and made a withdrawal from what would be theirs before the resurrection made it theirs. Now, if a woman before the resurrection could reach in to the joint account and get her a withdrawal.
Praise God.
What can Rosie do today?
Glory.
Are you listening? What can Winnie do today?
Praise God.
What can Cheryl do today? When the account is paid in full, you're not getting it on credit. You're getting it on done did.
Amen.
Pastor, that's inarticulate. You understood it, didn't you? It's done did. He perceived somebody has made a withdrawal. Does Corinthians 9 sound good to anybody? What eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, what God has laid in store. This woman said, laid in store for me is healing. I'm going to grab me some as he goes by. I don't have to make a big deal out of it. I am just going to write a check on the family account, and I'm going to cash the check when he goes by. Because all things are possible to them who believe. All things are possible. Not to them who believe. No, Pastor, I believe. No. If you believe all things are possible, then you're acting on what you believe. You can't tell me you believe that you have the winning ticket to the lottery if you drop it in the trash can. You can't tell me you believe you have the winning ticket to the lottery if you go, you want it? No, if you believe you have the winning ticket, I can't even touch that ticket because you're doing the happy dance. Throwing in a few Shandai in my Hyundai. Jesus realized somebody done swiped their card and something has gone out of the joint account. If you'll only touch him, you'll be free. If you'll only touch him, you'll be free. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her afflictions. Immediately, Jesus perceiving that somebody had swiped their credit card on the family account, said, what's up? What happened? He said to her, your faith has made you whole. What does that mean? He said, Phoebe, you got some without my help or permission. Oh, come on, church.
Amen.
You got some without my help or permission. Lay hold of what was laid in store for you, and you did. She didn't ask, she acted. Truth can't deny faith's action. We used to sing a chorus, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. What's the next line? You find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry, not your mouth's reply. Pastor, why would you put a song in there? Because I want you to have this song in you. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You don't have to stop him. You don't have to hold up the procession. You don't have to interrupt what's going on. Swipe your card? No. I'm not on credit. I'm on the other side of the cross.
Amen.
She was on that side of the cross. I'm on the back side of the cross. He is risen. I don't have a credit card. I have a joint account. I write the check. I don't even have to ask. I write the check and I cash the check.
Amen.
In the bank of laid up in store for you. Rise and be healed. You know how when Richard and the praise team is singing that song, you know what some people are hearing? If I stand up, I might get up. No, it didn't say, rise and maybe you'll be healed. It doesn't say, rise and healing could come to you. It says, rise because you believe you are healed. Rise and be healed in the name of Yeshua. Let faith arise in. What if this woman was sitting on the curb?
Jesus, touch me, please. I believe he can touch me. I believe he can heal me. I believe he can touch me. I believe he can heal me. I believe he can touch me. I believe he can heal me. I believe he can. Bye.
No, she had to get up off of her Pentecostal posterior. Slow moon rising. And she. She had to go and do something. Page 3, everybody. One must hear truth. One must lay hold of the truth heard. One must dwell upon, meditate that truth till belief grows. Belief must ignite hope that what is promised, heard, or seen can become a personal reality. Once truth has gone from heard, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I got to get hearing ears first. So I got to shut up everything that ain't hearing what God's saying. Once we go from heard to believe, if you can believe, all things are possible. Then I've got to go to hope, but not hope inactive. Hope inactive, deferred, makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it is a tree of life. You got to get on it. Then, having begun the progression of to faith, one hears, one believes, one allows hope to grow inside them. Then one dwells upon this new and empowering truth. This step is called meditation. His word says, with his stripes I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed. Since I am healed, this sickness is a lie. I'm telling this lie to get out of my body. Lie, go from me. Sickness and disease, I curse you with the name and the blood of the resurrected Lord. My elder brother, the Yeshua HaMashiach of God, descended into the pit, triumphed over you, and took back my healing. And it now is in the family account, and I'm writing the check. I'm putting it in. I'm making a withdrawal. Amen. Then dwell upon this new and empowering truth. The step is called meditation. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, so that you, woman with the issue of blood, are careful to do according to all that's written. Not hope, not believe, do. Meditate on it until belief becomes hope. Hope then sprouts legs and becomes faith, because faith does, because faith with, I mean, faith without a testing action is hope. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success, because you saw it, you heard it, you believed it, you received it, you let hope come alive. Now you move into faith, and you got to act on what you're hoping is true. From heard to believed to hope, to dwelling in truth, hope inspires, to acting on the truth now alive within you. Do what truth inspires. Act out faith's response to the lie that binds you. Act out faith's response to the lie that's overtaking you. In Acts 2:25, Pastor, if I could get where the Lord was passing by, I would reach out and touch him. Acts 2:25 is a quotation from Psalm 16:8. I saw the Lord always in my presence, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Matthew 1:23 says his name is Emmanuel. God going to come visit us someday. Emmanuel, God with us. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you to the end of the age. Habakkuk 2:1-2. I will stand on the wall and I will take a watch and I will see what's happening. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that He is God. Psalm 37:7. Wait patiently for Him. And she did. She saw what was going on. She was looking, where's God in this? She got still and waited patiently for Him to come by. But I want to help you with something here right now that a lot of people are missing out on and receiving blessings from God. Well, Pastor, I can't wait for the prayer line because maybe they'll call out my hikimoshai and I can get me a deliverance. I can't wait for the evangelist, the prophet, the man of God to be moving in the Spirit so I can step up and get me some. Do you know why we have praise and worship? Why, yes, Pastor Jim, that sets the mood for the offering. No. Okay, who's been holding out? The outreach barrel. Put your change in there. Second Kings chapter 3. Every psalmist knows this passage. Every minister of music knows this passage. King's got himself some trouble. The king is messed up. King says, I need to hear from God. I need a touch from God. Bring me a minstrel. Bring me a psalmist. Do you know that you can prepare the presence of God? Well, Pastor Jim, I want to be like Habakkuk. I want to see what the Lord is doing. I want to be like the psalmist. I want to be still and know that it's God. I want to wait patiently on Him. How do I do that? You prepare yourself. Why do you think we had them singing Only Believe this day when people were coming forward? We were preparing the atmosphere for that to happen because what you sing about will occur in your life. Gloom, despair, and misery on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You know what you're going to get. No. Let the song of the Lord prepare you. Arise and be healed. And what do? You stand up in God's presence. You lift your arms because you're acting on what you believe is possible. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and touch. Let the music prepare you. Why? Because when you're singing to the Lord, you're opening yourself to the realm of the Spirit. Amen. When you're singing to the Lord, you're entreating His presence. When you're singing to the Lord, the devil has to flee because praise quiets and stills the avenger. Yes. Right. He is Lord. He is Lord. Oh, Pastor Jim, that's an old one from the Full Gospel Business Men in the 70s. No. It's a new one from your lips. Amen. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. You're setting an atmosphere to receive from God.
Amen.
A number of years ago, I was encountered by a demoniac, a person severely possessed of the devil. They had been baptized in their grandmother's blood in dedication to Satan. We're not talking about somebody was slipping around fornicating and doing drugs. We're talking about somebody who was a fifth generation witch. And her life was dedicated to the devil. And the devil spoke at her and said, you can't have her, she's mine. And before I could even stop myself, It rose up out of my spirit, and I just began to say, my elder brother, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth, descended into the pit, triumphed over you, and took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And that same voice that had just boldly told me, you can't have her, said to me, don't say that again. So being a gentleman, I said it three more times. Well, actually, I said two more. It's three times long. I said it again. I said it three times. And she was set free. Why? The devil denies the resurrection more than he denies anything else. Because the resurrection is when you went from credit to paid in full joint account. And the devil don't want you knowing that your account is paid in full. Mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, your account is paid in full. I know there's a lot of teaching going around right now. We've got to return to the cross. We've got to talk about the cross. Forget it, Jack. The cross is empty. I want to talk about the throne. It's full. Because he was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand, and I was seated with him. I am not on credit. But if this woman could get on credit, what is in my account, and all I got to do is write the check. Church, you should not leave this place any lower than 3 foot off the ground. Walking in high places. Why? It's simple. All I got to do is find the promise in my new covenant. Derek, I read that promise, and I read it out loud because faith cometh by hearing. I want to hear it.
Right.
With his stripes, I were healed. Now I got to think about this. Were, that's past tense. If I were healed back then I am healed now. And since he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I was healed, I is healed, I'm going to stay healed.
Yeah.
Therefore, this lie can't destroy me. Yeah. It can't break me down. It can't kill me. It can't eat my flesh. Because it was settled. And healing is in my account. I am writing the check. Jim Lillard is the healed of the Lord. You see that, God? I wrote the check. Now, I am receiving from you the healing that belongs to me. From this day forward, I'm going to write cashed across this check. Why? It's a joint account. I've got the right to sign Yeshua HaMashiach and present it to God. God, you see this? You've given me a name that's above every name. That at the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, every knee, money knee, disease knee, sickness knee, hurt knee, grief knee, sorrow knee, every knee must bow. Now I'm presenting the check, Father. And this moment I receive this check as cashed. It's mine. And from this day forward I will decree, I am the healed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the anointed of God. I am the empowered of God. And I'm forgiving Pastor for going past 12 o'clock. But church, sometimes you can't get it in a 15-minute sermonette. Sometimes truth has to be expounded. Now I decree by the name and the blood of the Yeshua HaMashiach that the word today has been ministered to hearing ears. That word is inside you and will return to you again and again and again, drawing you into the sweet confines of his holy presence where you make your needs known because you come boldly before the throne of grace and you get you some. If an unsaved, unspirit-filled, unredeemed woman with a credit card called hope could get what belongs to me by resurrection life, I'm getting me some. Health, wealth, joy, peace. I've seen God answer a $25 prayer. I've seen God answer a $5 prayer. I've seen God answer a $3 million prayer. I'm going to strut me an Alfred E. Newman. What, me worry? It don't matter what Satan's arraying against me. If I got a promise, he's dead in the water.
Amen.
Wanda, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You ain't even thought yet what's already in your account because of the resurrection. It's laid in store for you. What you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. Devil comes by your house and goes, "Hey, girl." You go, "I know you ain't talking to me, fool. I am the redeemed of the Lord, and we ain't having that mess at this house." No, no. You ain't bringing that trash in here. The bolder Asa gets, the more the devil trembles. Are you listening, church? The more assured Patrick is that his God is faithful to his word, which is now in his account because he is the redeemed of the Lord. Friday ain't nothing. Ain't nothing you can't do. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through the anointing that infuses me with divine ability. All I got to do is whip out my pen and write the check and present it to the bank of heaven and say, "I'm getting me some."
Amen.
She didn't ask. She didn't beg. She didn't call the prayer tower and get 50 believers joining together with her. She simply said, "He is a healer. I'm getting me some healing. He is a deliverer. I'm getting me some deliverance. He's a restorer. I'm getting me some restoration. He is a provider. I'm getting me some provision. He is an ever-present help. I'm getting me some help." Whatever promise is there, read it, hear it, believe it, meditate on it, act on what you have believed as an accomplished truth, not a possibility. Father God, the word is sealed in the hearers. It is in their minds, it's in their hearts, and it cannot be taken from them. Satan, I put you on notice. You will not touch the word, the seed planted this day, but it grows up into a mighty tree of life and provides healing for the nations through every person under the sound of my voice. Father, I thank you that your word is true. Your word is true. Your word is true. Your word is true. Therefore, I can do all things. I call you blessed. I decree that this is the best week you've ever had. You'll walk in more health and more wealth and more joy and more peace this week than you ever have, because you are a force of God attacking the lies of Satan and defeating the works of darkness with the spirit of life that dwells within you. Go with God.